May God indeed give us the heart to honor these words spoken by St. Paul. God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of my Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The seventh and last word from the cross is "It is finished." We're going to explore the events of Good Friday that would lead up to this final word from Jesus. In less than the length of a day, our Lord had been betrayed by a friend. He had been deserted by his followers, and he had been arrested under the cover of darkness by his enemies. Our Lord had been repeatedly put on trial before men who were without conscience or ethics. And ironically, Jesus, who is the true God, would be falsely accused by liars who would perjure themselves on the witness stand. But even more ironic is the fact that our merciful Lord, who men judged worthy of death, had come to save and to justify in God's sight those very men. Next, in the events of Good Friday, we see our Lord being mocked by those who refused to see that they were indeed blaspheming the very Son of God. Though innocent of all sin, he was repeatedly whipped and beaten and humiliated by Roman soldiers who felt no shame or remorse. Then this one who is life and gives life was sentenced to die. Jesus would be paraded to his death under the heavy weight of the cross that he was made to bear. And once they reached Golgotha outside of the city walls of Jerusalem, he would be stripped naked and painfully nailed to the cross. This one who was nailed to the cross owns us. He is the creator who gives us everything that we enjoy. And yet on this day he was made to suffer alongside of criminals as if he were some kind of a thief. And this by men who had not only stolen his clothing, but we're also about to steal away his very life. Jesus soon found himself being lifted up just as he had predicted. And when they stood the cross upright and when it dropped into place in the ground, it jarred his wounded body and it caused every nerve ending in his body to shoot pain signals to his brain. So far, we have only talked about the initial phase of his outward physical sufferings. But while he was on the cross, Jesus would suffer far more inwardly. He would endure unimaginable inward spiritual torment and temptation within his soul that would take him to the utter depths of hell. For us to even begin to understand that, we must multiply what he suffered by the total number of sinners ever born and by all the sins that humanity has collectively committed. For suffering for the sins of the entire world certainly factored into the level of pain and punishment that our Lord endured. Our God and Savior, substituting his life for ours, experienced indescribable interior pain on the cross, pain that can scarcely be comprehended by those who have not yet to experience hell. Besides dehydration from exposure to the sun, Despite excessive blood loss, as well as the taxing of the organ of his heart and the other systems of his body, death by crucifixion was mainly a matter of suffocation. Suffocating under his own body weight, as gravity caused him to sink and to slouch, meant that our Lord could not catch his breath. And so he repeatedly struggled to stand long enough for his lungs to expand and take in air. But the weaker he got, the harder it got. And beyond the spiritual and the physical pain, there was also the emotional pain that Jesus was forced to undergo. The verbal abuse heaped upon him by the crowd, this crowd of self-righteous onlookers, was so intensely demonic. It was so unspeakably evil that it would have killed the spirit of any other man except for the Son of Man. And so, from all earthly appearances, Jesus was about to die in disgrace. And the hopes and the dreams of his disciples were about to die along with him. For it was now becoming painfully obvious to them that Jesus would never live long enough to establish the kingdom that they had been looking for. Seeing Jesus nailed to the cross must have made it look to Jesus' followers as if something had gone terribly wrong. As they stood by helplessly watching this tragedy unfold, it must have seemed to them as if God had somehow completely lost control of the situation. To them, Jesus' death looked pointless and senseless to his frightened followers. What was happening on the cross certainly did not look like any part of it was going according to God's own predetermined plan. And yet, my friends in Christ, if the cross teaches us anything, it teaches us that appearances can be deceiving. For just before our Lord bows his head in death, he announces, "It is finished." What is finished? Was Jesus finished? No. Jesus was declaring that the divine plan and the saving purpose of God for sending his Son into this world to atone for the sins of the whole world was finished. "It is finished" was not that final weak cry of despair. It was the proclamation of fulfillment. "It is finished" meant that our Lord's redemptive work was won. It was done. And that's good. Because if Christ had not fulfilled the law's demands, then we must die despairing. If Christ had never been punished on the cross in our place, you and I would still be under the wrath of God. And if God had never given us the faith to believe this, we would still be living in the fear and in the dread that one day we must face a holy and just God who we have made angry by our sins. This is why these words are so important. As Jesus proclaims, "It is finished," from the cross. It's hard to believe because Jesus never looks weaker than on the cross, and yet he was never stronger to save. This is his most glorious moment on earth. For here he announces that his Father had seen the suffering of his soul as an acceptable offering for our sins and had been satisfied. The punishment of God's Son in our place had fully satisfied God's sense of justice and had forever diffused God's righteous anger against sin and sinners. Christ, by his obedient sufferings and death, had accomplished a full pardon for the world, including your pardon, when he proclaimed with a shout, "It is finished." To understand the intent of this final word spoken from the cross, it is important to know that Jesus doesn't say, "I'm finished." He says, "It is finished." Don't hear these words, "It is finished," as some kind of over-dramatized way that Jesus was using to express that his own death was imminent. You should never hear these words as the words coming from the mouth of a defeated or a disgraced Jesus, who's basically giving up and saying, "I'm finished. It's over. I can't go on." Jesus never said anything like this. For these words, "It is finished," are not the words of surrender. Instead, they are the words of a conqueror declaring his victory. And yet these words are rarely interpreted this way, and they are often overlooked by many because they are spoken by this frail crucified figure who looks like anything but a conqueror. Nailed to the cross, it looked as if Jesus were the one being conquered. For in the moment of Jesus' deepest crucified misery and greatest agony, you just wouldn't expect such exultant words. And yet they are triumphant words. "It is finished." The final words that Jesus says is also the final word from God regarding our sins. His final words, "It is finished," should comfort every troubled sinner. For by these words, our Lord is providing you with the certainty and the conviction of knowing by faith that God has already forgiven you in Christ, that he loves you, and that he will take you to heaven someday because of what his Son accomplished for you on the cross some 2,000 years ago. And so from now on, whenever the accusing voice of the law reminds you of your past sins, when sin attempts to make you fear God's future condemnation, your defense is to quote Jesus and these last words from the cross. When sins rush back into your head and memory to accuse you, you should respond to your sin saying, "Yes, law, I hear what you're saying about my sins. But didn't you hear what Jesus said from the cross about my sins? For he said, 'It is finished.'" There is now no more condemnation for me to fear, since Jesus has already suffered all the condemnation that I deserved on the cross. Thanks to the crucified Christ, every sin that I have ever committed, or every sin that I will ever commit for that matter, has already been fully and forever punished and laid to rest in him. I am a sinner. And yet, since Christ has been punished for sin in my place, I can never be put on trial for those same sins. For my trial and my punishment have already happened in Christ. It is finished. Now, it's only in hindsight, looking back on the cross from the vantage point of the resurrection, that allows us to understand the victorious meaning of these final words, "It is finished." Because all anyone could see on that first Good Friday was the crucified, languishing form of a bloody, brutalized man nailed to the cross, looking so pitiful and so passive and so helpless. And yet, the spiritual reality is very different than the appearance. For our Lord had just successfully waged war against those things that hold people like you and me captive to fear throughout our lifetime. Christ had just successfully battled sin and death and devil on the cross and won salvation for us. On the cross, he only looked like a victim. But in reality, he is the victor who has forever vindicated us from everything evil. And so when our Lord Jesus Christ declares, "It is finished," he is announcing that he has just won the war against the powers of evil. He has obtained forgiveness for you. You have peace with God, and you can look forward to an unending and joyous new life in him and in heaven. Those who had a part in sending Jesus to the cross, of course, intended something entirely different. Urged on by satanic hatred for the Lord's anointed, they wanted to cause him to suffer. They took immense pleasure in his pain. Their evil intention was, through the crucifixion, to scandalize Jesus and to scatter his followers. Our Lord's enemies intended the events of his passion for his shame, but God happily intended them for our salvation. Jesus knew, even through all of the pain, that the cross was actually going to be his crowning achievement and his real glory. For what Jesus did upon the cross will be remembered. It will be reveled in by those he came to save forever. For by his death on the cross, Jesus hasn't just extended your life by 5 or 10 or 15 years or 50 or 1500 years. But his cross extends life and forgiveness to you and to all who believe eternally. And so by these words, "It is finished," Jesus was signaling to the world that the hard work of reconciling sinners back to God was now complete. By his obedient and perfect life lived for us, and by his vicarious sufferings in our place, our Lord had completed the work that his Father had sent him to this earth to do. "It is finished" is not a word he spoke in defeat. But in this last word, there is a bold declaration of victory and fulfillment. It's the ancient equivalent of announcing, "Mission accomplished." I've always thought it was curious, but in English, it takes us 3 words to say it. "It is finished." But for Jesus speaking in Greek, it only took a single word, "tetelestai." Jesus spoke Greek, and the original New Testament was written in Greek. And so the last word spoken by Jesus from the cross was that Greek word, "tetelestai." Interestingly enough, it's the only place in the New Testament where we find the word. This pardoning word which Jesus spoke from the cross might have remained untranslatable, except that scholars discovered the meaning of the word from other documents of the period. For archaeologists have repeatedly found this word scrawled across tax receipts dating back to the time of Christ. Tetelestai was a word frequently used in the Roman tax code for when a person's tax obligations had been fully met. The tax collector would scribble the word tetelestai across the tax bill as a receipt that the taxes had been paid in full. And that's really what the word means, paid in full. And so hanging from the cross, Jesus says, tetelestai, knowing that now he had paid our redemption price from sin and death and devil in full. For the person who believes that he or she is fully and finally and forever reconciled to God through his Son's death and resurrection, it is finished. Our redemption is complete, and through Christ we are restored to God. Through faith in the cross we are right with God. And there are no loose ends for us to tie up, no missing pieces for us to puzzle about, nothing to be added by way of our works, nor anything that we must first subtract from our life before we can be certain that God forgives us. It is finished. The redemptive price has been paid in full. The world's sins have been atoned for. The work of Christ to reconcile God to the world has been accomplished. The law has been fulfilled. And so, the good news of Good Friday is that your forgiveness is complete. Your pardon from sin is granted. And your place in heaven is guaranteed. For God's final word on the cross is also his final word to you. Tetelestai, paid in full, it is finished. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.